Hi, honey. Well, here it is, Thursday night, and I'm just about fully recovered from my trip to Japan, which was really exciting and a very interesting experience. You know, I have two sizes of tapes. I have one that have 7.5 minutes on both side, on each side, and one that has 15 minutes on both sides. And I started dictating on one of the shorter tapes because sometimes it's hard for me to fill a tape. Well, after dictating for 5 minutes, using up almost one whole side, I had just finished the first half day of my trip, so I thought I'd start all over. I wrote you about 3 letters over the 4 or 5 days that I was gone, and I'm sorry I didn't write more, but I really was just so busy and so flustered and frustrated and running around trying to see and do things that I really didn't have time to sit down and write. When I did write, I wrote late in the evening when I was just so tired and just ached all over. But anyway, I'm going to summarize the whole thing for you now, so you'll have a clear picture of everything I did. The whole thing started on Saturday morning at 5 a.m. and the chopper lands right outside, you know, where I've shown you the pictures of the chopper pad, and they were supposed to pick up me and 3 patients. Well, I got out there and the patients weren't even ready. They hadn't even picked them up on the ward. And of course, the chopper pilots were upset. And I ran around getting the patients over to the emergency room and finally got them loaded on the chopper. And then they take us down to Saigon and land us at the Third Field Hospital. And then from Third Field, that's where Ron Waters was, they take us by ambulance to a place they call CSF, which is Central Staging Facility, and this is where they keep the patients until they're ready to be boarded on the big C-131s to fly to Japan. Well, anyway, we get our patients there, and a couple of them are very critical and very seriously ill, and that's why I went with them. And the most seriously ill patient, we start looking for his chart. We couldn't find it. What had happened is the guy in the emergency room who loaded the patients on the plane, on the chopper, forgot to put the patient's chart on, so they had to send the chopper all the way back to Kuchi for his records. So everybody, of course, was very upset, including me, and I was really raised a stink when I got back here and chewed everybody out, and I hope it never happens again. So anyway, they finally got the records, and then at about 9 a.m. in the morning that same day, they loaded us aboard this C-131. And it's a big 4-engine jetliner, and you know, just like the planes that you fly, you know, like a Boeing 707 or one of those big liners. But inside, it's all set up to take litters and you know, stretchers with patients on it. And we had about I think 40 patients on stretchers and about 20 who were ambulatory. And then they have regular airline seats that are portable, you know, and bolt down to the floor towards the front of the cabin. And of course, I was up helping the patients, and I got so bored during the flight I even helped pass out trays at lunchtime and help clean up the trays and just something to keep busy during the flight. But it was a relatively uneventful, smooth flight. They gave us lunch on the plane, and everybody was real nice and real helpful, and they really do a fantastic job taking care of these patients while they're being transported to Japan. You know, all the patients who have to leave the country go through Japan, and when they get to Japan, some of them are kept, and some are kept, you know, kept and treated in Japan, and then sent back to Vietnam or sent home, and some are just kept overnight or for 1 or 2 days, and then sent directly home for further care. So anyway, we had this flight, and we landed about, I think it was about 2:30 at Yokota Air Force Base, which is just north of Tokyo. Now what normally happens is they pick me up by helicopter and fly me and the 3 patients down to what's called the 106th Hospital, which is the burn center hospital. See, 2 of these patients had bad burns. So they're supposed to take us down to the burn center by chopper. Now this is about 60 miles and south of Yokota, and normally it takes about 20 minutes to fly there. But the weather was very bad. It was raining and it was overcast, and by the way, it was just freezing. It was about 30 degrees outside. And what a tremendous contrast from Vietnam, where it's been 85. But anyway, it was very overcast, so they couldn't fly the choppers. So they decided to take me and the patients over to Tachikawa Air Force Base, which is about 20 minutes from Yokota. And they have a hospital there where they put my patients on an intensive care ward. And then I was free. A problem was that I couldn't do any shopping, because by then the PXs had closed. And they got me a place to stay in one of the transient officer facilities. I was really sort of lost, not knowing what to do. So I went to change my money. You know, in Vietnam here, we use those MPCs. Remember, I sent the kids some of those money that we use in Vietnam instead of the green money. And when you leave the country, like when I before I boarded the plane, they had to take me over and get my money changed to American money, the green money. And then when you get to Japan, you can't spend that. You either got to use yen, which is the Japanese money, or you got to, if you're going to buy anything in a PX or on base, you got to have Japan MPCs, which is different from the Vietnamese MPC. So I went over to change my money, and while I was in this shuttle bus, which takes you over to the officers' club where you change your money, I met this fellow that was from Korea, and he said he was going out on the town that night just to get something to eat. And so I asked him if he wouldn't mind if I tag along. It turned out he's a GMO in Korea who is in Japan taking some kind of a special course. And this has been the third time he was in Tokyo. And those guys in Korea really have it made, because they can get to Tokyo very easily, and they take flights all the time. And it's really ridiculous that here we are in Vietnam, where the conditions are miserable and the weather's, you know, not too bad, but you know, there's always this danger of mortars coming in, and we working so hard, and then the guys in Korea get all the benefits. They get to go home, they get to go to Japan whenever they want to, they can take a couple or three leaves, and it's just one of those horrible things that the Army does. But anyway, we took a train from Tachikawa about 30 miles into a place called Shinjuku. The trains are just absolutely unbelievable in Tokyo. First of all, to go 30 miles cost us about 40 cents. And the trains go very fast, and they're very well organized. And the people are so polite, and they're so nice, and they're so well dressed. In just such tremendous contrast to the Vietnamese people, who are just slobs. The people in Japan, you never saw anybody, including little kids, that weren't in a nice coat and a tie. And their hair always combed and their shoes polished, and they're always bowing, and they always let you go on the train first and let you go through the door first, and they'll help you with your packages. And of course, nobody speaks English. Apparently all the kids take English in school, but nobody speaks it. At least they don't talk to you very much, because I think partially because they're embarrassed they don't speak it too well, and it's very difficult for them to speak English. The other confusing thing is that, of course, all the signs in Japan are in Japanese. You know, that crazy writing. It's not like in Vietnam, at least, the signs are in English. You know, they're English letters. So you can at least pronounce the place you're going to. Luckily, each train station has the name of the stop in English letters, so that you can at least know which stop you're at. And then somebody had given me a map of all the train stations, so that by looking on the map and looking at the train station we stopped at, we could sort of tell where we were. But anyway, we finally made it to this place called Shinjuku, which is just one of the most interesting areas I've ever been in. It was just brilliantly lit up with neon lights. You know, Tokyo is supposed to have more neon lights than any other place in the world, and it's absolutely true. The famous area is called the Ginza, which I visit the next day, and I'll tell you about later. But this place was even nicer than the Ginza. It was very small and compact. There's a university there, and so it's mainly for younger people. They have a lot more eating places, nice eating places, a lot more shops, real nice shops. All the major department stores have branches in this area. It's like a big shopping center. And we went into a camera store. We were shopping, looking at Nikon cameras, and we asked the fella in our way where to get some sukiyaki. And he told us about this restaurant, or at least he just drew us a map, pointed where we were, and told us which way to walk by pointing on the map, because he couldn't speak any English. But he sent us to this restaurant, which was absolutely the most elegant thing I've ever eaten in. I'm going to send a package probably tomorrow or the next day, and in it it'll be a little brochure. It won't have any name on it, but from the my description, you'll know that the brochure, and there's also a napkin there with some Chinese writing on it, and also a some postcards that they gave us, all from this restaurant. And the restaurant was just typically Japanese, and it looked like it was a place that the tourists never go to, because all we saw in there were very well-dressed, well-to-do looking Japanese. Anyway, you walked in, and the first thing you did, of course, was take your shoes off, and they gave you a pair of very lovely slippers, which you put on, and you went upstairs in an elevator. And when you got out, you could use those slippers until you got to the area where you ate. And when you walked in that room, you had to take your shoes off and go in barefooted. Well, this room we ate in, it was just the most elegant, beautifully decorated place I'd ever seen. You know, it had tapestries on the walls and everything. And you'll see on the brochure and on the postcards that I'm going to send you what it looks like. So anyway, we ordered sukiyaki, which they make, you know, in a frying pan on a gas burner right in the middle of your table while you sit on the floor. And the girl is dressed in this beautiful Japanese costume, and she cooks your meal for you while you're sitting there. And she gives you raw egg to dip, to put your meat in. You know, she cooks the meat and the vegetables and then puts it in raw egg, and you eat it out of the raw egg, and it's just absolutely delicious. I've never had anything so good in my life. It was really fantastic. And she sat there through the whole meal. You know, it was an older woman who spoke no English whatsoever. But she, of course, got a kick out of us, just as we got a kick out of being there. And they're so gracious. You know, when we leave, they keep bowing, thank you very much. You know, they don't say thank you, they say arigato, you know. And you know, indicated please come back, and they take you to the door, and they thank you again, and they bow, and it was just wonderful. So anyway, we did some just looking around in the various shops, and then everything in Tokyo closes very early, about 10 o'clock actually, all the shops close. In fact, at 11:30, the trains just about stop running. They run very infrequently. Until that time, they run about every 3 minutes. But after 11:30, they don't run at all. So we went back, and I was supposed to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning to check about my flight down to Yokohama. Well, I got up at 8 o'clock on Sunday and called over there, and would you believe, it was still overcast, and they weren't going to fly me. They were going to pick me up by bus, and the bus was supposed to be there at 12:30. Well, I really didn't know what to do then, because I had to just kill 4 hours. So I went to get something to eat, and I met a surgeon, a general surgeon, who was at Yokota. And so he spent about 2.5 hours with me just talking, and we had a nice breakfast at the officers' club. And then he drove me to the PX, which opened at 12, and I was supposed to be at the ward to leave with my patients at 12:30. So I had about 15 minutes to the shop. So I just went to the camera counter and spent all my time buying a camera for one of the fellas here that he wanted me to buy for him. and I really didn't get a chance to do any of my own shopping or look for something for you or the kids. So I hustled on over and took to the ward, and I get there at 12:30. I'm all ready to go. The bus doesn't show up till 1:30. So I was really upset because I was just wasting time just sitting around doing nothing. Anyway, they finally got us in the bus, and would you believe it's 2.5 hours to Yokohama. So I spent the whole day riding in that darn bus. We get to Yokohama, and it took me about an hour, really, to just get checked in and get checked out of Yokohama. And it turned out that instead of having to leave the following day, which I really should have, because it took me an extra day to get to Yokohama, they let me stay an extra day. So that means I would have had all day Monday to myself to go around Tokyo and do shopping and do whatever I wanted to do, and then I'd have to leave Tuesday. Well, I got in the in a taxi to go to the train station to go to Tokyo, because Tokyo is about 40 miles away from Yokohama. And on the way there, I decided I'd go to a camera store. One of the fellows had told me a camera store where I might be able to buy a Nikon camera. Well, I spent 10 minutes trying to explain the name of this camera store, and I showed this fellow, I had written down where it was located. And well, there's something wrong with the end of this tape, so I'm going to turn it over and dictate.